Kof Dalad Shvat, Friday the 13th of February, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, the Arab of Halshius.
After that fascinating shiur, full of teichen and lots of horrors, I'm going to do something a little bit more simple. In deciding what to do, I was told it's got to be a parsha theme. And when I asked what the parsha theme represents, they said, well, you can do what you like, basically. So we were talking about Mr. Harris. I asked my Mechutin, Dr. Harris, as to which they thought that Sibyl would prefer. Would he prefer some complicated topic on Parshas Mishpatim, or should we do the Arba Parshas? And he said, we haven't done the Arba Parshas before, and therefore it is appropriate to do it now, as we're going to say Parshas Shekolim. In fact, it's simpler than that, because there's a machlokas in the Gemara between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yirmiya as to whether or not, when it was the time for the Parshas, whether or not they just didn't say the Seder at all that week. So according to Rabbi Abba, and Rabbi agrees with him, the Parsha was doicha the Seder completely, and all they did was the Parsha didn't say anymore. The halacha is not like that. The halacha is like Rabbi Yirmiya, who paskens that there's only the Haftoiris which got nidchu, but they said that whatever they said, they didn't necessarily say the same sedras as we've got because they had a different chalukah. But the Rosh and the Rif both paskin, the Kaimalon, only the Haftaras are nidchu. They don't give a particular reason, and it's actually quite puzzling from the Gemara because you would have assumed that the halacha would be like a Abaya, that it should be the sedra which is nidchu, but since the Olam, we know everybody doesn't docha, no, we're not docha the Sedra. It doesn't explain why, but it could be that that's the Minig HaOlam, and since the Minig HaOlam is taken on like that, that's koveya the halacha. It could be that's the situation, or it could be because the Gemara itself says ve'idach, and what would the other one hold, and it starts giving an explanation according to Rabbi Yirmi, even though Abaya's actually gone like Rabbi Abba. But it's no question about it that nowadays we do say the Sedra, and we say the Arba Parshas instead of saying the Maftir and Naftir, we say the Maftir for the Arba Parshas. But it's quite clear that the Arba Parshas antedated the Sedras, the Sedras that we've got, the Breishis, Noach, and Lechecho. In the time of the Gemara, it's not clear that whether they had sedras or not. Probably they didn't, because there was a different chalukah. We know there was a three-year and a three-and-a-half-year chalukah, so that they didn't always necessarily have the sedras that we've got. We do not know exactly when the sedras were finalized in the shape or form. We do know one or two sedras are mentioned by the Gemara. Parshas Tetzaveh is mentioned in one place, and so forth. But the actual sedras are never called sedras in the Gemara as such, and that must have been a later development when we finalized the 54 sedras because of the 54 weeks. Well, there aren't 54 weeks in the year, but because there were 54 sedras in order that there should be a sedra available for every week. It's in a leap curve, of course, and then the parshas are quite clearly there beforehand, as the Mishnah tells us there were Arba parshas, and that was the first topic here, the origin of the parshas we've just discussed. The names of the parshas have been given in the Mishnah. We've got parshas Shkolim, we've got parshas Zochar, we've got parshas Poro Aduma, which is shortened to Pora, and we've got Parshas HaChodesh Azel, which is shortened to Parshas HaChodesh. Those are the four Parshas which have been given to us. The question is why? Why should we have four Parshas all of a sudden? Where do they come from? Why should the Gemara suddenly decide we have Parshas? Well, it's obviously got to do something to do with Pesach, because it's just before, it's before Purim and after Purim, and we're leading into Pesach. So it's clearly, it's connected somehow or other with Pesach. But the question still is, why did we have Parshas? So each of the Parshas has got its own reason. I think we should do that first to see what the parsha represents, and then we'll try and understand why there were parshas altogether and why these only these four. Starting off with Shkolim, which is the one we're going to do this Shabbos, this is to remind us clearly of the Machatzis HaShekel. The Machatzis HaShekel had to be brought before the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because at Rosh Chodesh Nisan they had to use new money for the Beis HaMikdash, the Korbanos and the whatever they had to do. They couldn't use the Yoshon, they couldn't use the old money, so they had to make a collection of the Machatzis HaShekel, and Machatzis HaShekel was for every Yid in Klal Yisrael should have a shutfus in the Beis HaMikdash and in the Korbanos, etc., so it should be for everybody. So they started collecting a month before the due date. It's not quite a month for due date, because they started collecting on Rosh Chodesh Adar, and we know Rosh Chodesh Adar has only got 29 days, but alright, 29, 30, we're not macbid about the one day. They made the Kaveh Adyom Masuyim. You very often find in Halacha, rather than making a flexible date, which depends upon the calendar, etc., they made a fixed date. And the date that they chose was Rosh Chodesh Adar, even though it may only have 29 days, and even though there could be differences. You find also, for example, that when we start Slichas, always on the, we're supposed to start Slichas 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, but we always start on the Sunday. Well, and sometimes it's five, hang on, you've got to work out when Rosh Hashanah can be. But so it could be 5 days up to Thursday.
Wednesday you start.
Yeah, and sometimes it can even be a week. But it's a Dover Masuyim. So it's the same thing here. They made this Rosh Chodesh Adar the day for the collectors to start. I don't know whether Sunday was a good day in those days, or Rosh Chodesh was a good day for collection. I know in many shuls make a Rosh Chodesh collection. Somehow with Rosh Chodesh more people are around, but that's I don't know, that's history, and they used to make the collection then, and therefore Parshas Shekolim was there to remind people, oh, we've got to start making our shekels, we've got to bring our shekels to the Beis HaMikdash. That's why it took place there. And the second reason is Lahaktim Shekleyam Shel Klal Yisrael Lishkolov Shel Homon. What's the pshat? It was known already that there was a time that when Haman gave his money to the to Achashverosh in order to destroy Klal Yisrael, so they decided they would have Parshas Shkolim in order to counterbalance the fact that Haman gave money to destroy Klal Yisrael. We're going to give money to be Mekayim Klal Yisrael, and that was how Parshas Shkolim came about. It was a counterblast to Haman's behavior, and he gave the Selesalachim Kikar, and we are going to give Machatzis HaShekel Kol Echad VeEchad to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the second reason why Parshas Shkolim was there. And we know that Haman's day was Purim, of course, that's the day of the Simcha of Purim. So we wanted to be Makdim our Shkolim to the time when Haman gave his Shkolim. Right, the next one is Parsha Zochar, which everybody knows, is that Zechiras Mechias Amolek. Why should it come at this particular time? Well, it's because we know that the Mechias Amolek takes place on Purim, and therefore we have to do something before Purim in order to counteract again the Amolek in Haman. And they bring a prosek in the Megillah. It says, "Oyomim ha'ela nizkorim v'naasim." Zechira comes before the Asiya. The Asiya is on Purim, so the Zechira has to be the week before Purim. So that's Koveya. Parsha Zochar is the week before Purim. Parsha Shkolim is the week before Rosh Chodesh, or if it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh itself. And then we come to Parsha's Poro Aduma. Why Parsha Poro Aduma? Because you have to get pure for the Korban Pesach. Anybody who's Tomei can't bring the Korban Pesach, and in order to bring the Korban Pesach, you have to become Torah. The normal Tumah, which will prevent you from bringing the Korban, will be Tumas Mes. To get out of Tumas Mes, you've got to have the Eifah Poro, and therefore you have to have the Poro Aduma, and you have to have 7 days before Pesach. But that still leaves us the problem is why is Parah Adumim in that case the week before Parshas HaChodesh? We know that there were Koveya, just as there were Koveya at Parshas Zohar the week before Purim, Parshas Parah has to be the week before Parshas HaChodesh. And that will explain to the Hafsokas, as we'll see in a second, where the Hafsokas are. But the point is, that is where the Chachamim are being Koveya Parshas Parah, and the question arises, why? With the Parah Adumo, it should have been after Parshas HaChodesh, because the Parah Adumo was actually was given on the 2nd of Nisan. And the question is, why then is Parah in the place that it is? Right? So the answer is given, it's before Parshas HaChodesh, in order to purify ourselves in readiness for the Korban Pesach. I believe that comes in Rashi. If you look at number 4 on the list, I've just jumped a little bit. Why Parah before HaChodesh? Rashi in Megillah Chof Tesam Medalef B'Shem Yerushalmi, it's on the Mishnah. Lahakdim Ta'arosan Shal Yisrael. We want to bring the Tarot earlier. It's true that it's not needed until before Pesach. But just like we want to be ready beforehand, no, you don't get ready a minute before Shabbos for Shabbos. You can get ready Friday. And there are people on Thursday night. It's also a special heterim to get things for Shabbos you can get ready in the 9 days. There are certain halachas which are allowed to do for Shabbos, and that can start on Thursday night. That doesn't have to start on 2 minutes before Shabbos. Why? Because when you're doing hachana, you don't chaplap hachana, you've got to make proper hachana. So it's the same thing, presumably, here what Rashi is saying. It's true you've got to get Torah for Pesach, but don't leave it till the last minute. Don't leave it till the end of Pesach. You need 7 days, etc. So it's best if it's done before. And that's Rashi. The problem with Rashi, since we're discussing that at the moment, it's well known that Rashi's shitta is that the Atmora, they gave the Parah Adumah, as well as the other mitzvahs of Parah Adumah, of Shabbos and Dinim, they gave the Parah Adumah. The Torah Tanuma says that it's a tos adfus. It wasn't Parah Adumah, it was Pei Aleph, and what had happened was an ink blot got on the top of the Chof, and the Chof then became transformed into a Pei. It should have said Chof Aleph. And Chof Aleph was Kibud Av. And we know that Kibud Av was given in Mora, but in fact, Rashi it says Pei Aleph. And some clever Dick scribe came and said that was Parah Adumah. That's a Torah Tumimah's shitta that Rashi never said it. However, we know from this week's Sedra that Rashi again mentions Parah Adumah and Kibud Av. They're both mentioned. So it's very difficult to say there's two ink blots. There's an ink blot. There's the answer to give. No, since we see that Rashi says Parah Adumah somewhere else, I can't remember exactly where. Somewhere else, it's mentioned in somewhere in Devarim, I think. But it says Pei Aleph. And since he says Chof Aleph, presumably he meant both, and therefore some clever Dick Sefer went and put Chof Aleph and Pei Aleph, and that's how it got in. That's all part of his theory. However, there is a piyut which is quite clearly that Parah Adumah was given at Mora. It's a piyut, and the piyutim are very, very ancient. So you can't say that. So the Mechilas Kavod, the Torah Tanuma, is very quick to make these clever Torah sofas, but the Forshim suggests that on this occasion that he's got it wrong, and in fact Rashi did mean Parah Adumah. If Rashi said Parah Adumah was given at Mora, so then it came before Parshas HaChodesh. So what's the kasha? So what's Rashi worried about? So you've got to say in answer that what it means is this. Rashi means like this. That although the dinim of Parah Adumah were given in Mora, the dinim were given there, people should learn, realize that the most important chok of all chukim is Parah Adumah. And therefore, just learning about the Parah Adumah teaches you emunah, it teaches you many, many halachas of Musa, etc. That's why it was given at Mora. However, the Lemaisa, you can't possibly have a Parah Adumah until you had the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan was ready. Because the ingredients would require certain things which you could only do with the Mishkan there. And therefore, although in theory it was given at Mora, Lemaisa it only came after Rosh Chodesh, when the second day of Nisan. That's when they had the first actual Parah Adumah. So Rashi's kash is right, and that's why Rashi answers. The reason why we say Parah before Parshas HaChodesh is not because it was historically before. That wouldn't have been good enough, because there was not the Maisa. It can only be because it was It was enacted in Taros and Shal Yisrael to the Chosh, like he said in the first place. So Rashi is right. Now, that's Poro. The final one is Parshas HaChodesh, and that Parshas HaChodesh was given because of two reasons. One is because you have to be Mechadesh before Pesach, and to remind you to get ready for Pesach and the Chodesh. This is the month of Chidush. This is the month on which Klal Yisrael are going to have Geula, etc. It's a new era for Klal Yisrael. That's one explanation. And the other, Kiddush HaChodesh, which the Pesach says, HaChodesh Hazeh Rosh Chodoshim. Rosh Chodesh is given in the Torah. And in the Parsha of Rosh Chodoshim, you have the whole of Pesach. The whole of the mitzvahs of Pesach are in Parsha's bow, in HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. So it makes sense to say Parsha's HaChodesh, which would be both the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, and which had to be done, and Nissan being the Rosh Chodoshim, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, but also because the Parsha of Chodesh has a whole of the Halachas of Pesach in the Parsha of Chodesh. And we want to remind people, look, Pesach is coming, start HaChodesh as Elohim, say that Parsha. So that explains why they chose these four Parshas. However, there is always one Hafsaka, at least in Adar, sometimes two. And there's a hafsaka between if there is only one hafsaka in Adar, you'll find there's another hafsaka in Nisan. And the only time when there are two hafsakas in Adar, you'll find that there's no hafsaka in Nisan. Because if the two hafsakas, that means it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, that means Parshas HaChodesh is Rosh Chodesh itself, and then Shabbos HaGadol will be the 8th, so there's no Hafsaka, and then the 15th is Nisan. So if you have one Hafsaka in Adar, you'll have another Hafsaka in Nisan. If you have two Hafsakas in Adar, then you'll have no Hafsakas in Nisan. So you'll always find two Hafsakas. And the kasha arises, if you're always going to have 6 weeks, why did Chazal decide we're going to have four parshas? Why did they make Hafsakas? What's the point? Well, you could say they didn't want to be doing the Sedra for so long. And if you have, you know, if you have 6 weeks in a row where you've got no Sedra, but that's only according to the Shitta that there was no Seder. But according to the Shitta that we have, only the Haftorah is Nidcha. Well, is it such a big deal? I mean, you know, the Hasidim wouldn't care so much, because they don't sit allowed anyhow. But the Ashkenazim will make a big deal of the Haftorah, and it's the biggest, that goes for the most money when you, you know, the sell aliyahs. You find that the Haftorah, you pay more for the Haftorah than you do for Shishi in many places, or for Shlishi. I've seen that, because people feel that they want that Bar Mitzvah wants the Haftorah. I don't know why, because basically, clearly, they say that, for example, when it's a Yort site, there's a machlokus as to which is the best aliyah to get. Is it best aliyah to get Shlishi, or is it best to get the Haftorah? Well, the reasons for that, for the two shittas. The reason for the shitta of Shlishi is because Shlishi is the most important aliyah. After all, the first aliyah for Yisrael gets, if you're not a Kohen or a Levi, and therefore that's really, that comes first. But some say no, the Haftorah is more important for a Yortzeit because of the Medrash, which tells us of Rabbi Akiva's Medrash, where he had to get the boy to say the Haftorah, and that seems to be an ilu neshoma for the Niftar. So that came about, that the Haftorah, therefore, in many places took precedence over the Shlishi. That's a set of Zayte Gezach. But the point is that we find that the Haftorahs are not as important as the Seder. And then if you're going to say after, it doesn't really matter where you say the after from. The Seder, you've got to say it because it's got to come from Keseder now. You've got to go Bracious Noach Lech. You can't jump around. But the after, it doesn't really matter if you say one after or another. And we find, for example, there are Minhagim, and some people say, for example, in Vayishla, say Chazor Novadia, and some say Amisirim. There's all different types of Haftorahs. So does it make any difference which Haftorah? It doesn't really make a difference which Haftorah it is. So therefore, the question is, why then did they only have four Haftorahs? They could have had six. Are you going to tell me the Bazaar didn't...
Four Haftorahs, two
Haftorahs. I'm saying four Haftorahs. Yeah, thank you, someone's listening. Good. Just testing. If it's four Haftorahs, are you going to tell me...
Four Haftorahs, two Haftorahs.
I beg your pardon. If there's four, I'm completely confused here. If there's four parishes, why is it? Was it not beyond the wit of Chazal to find two more? Do you think Chazal couldn't dream up another parasha relevant for Pesach? I'm quite sure that Chazal wanted to, they could have found other parishes to make it all. And to say that they didn't want to have six in a row doesn't really dig you. It doesn't sort of, it's not quite the right thing. So I haven't seen this asked anywhere, but my opinion, I think it's probably right on this occasion, not just because it's my opinion, but because I think it fits in, is the whole of the parishes are connected with Pesach. Now, if they're connected with Pesach, we know that the number of Pesach is four. It's true that Chanukah is five or eight, and we know that other, I think the Shavuos is three, but the number for Pesach is four. We have Arbor Bonim, we have Arbor Kaisers, we have all the things in Pesach are connected with the number four one way or another. What's the chashivas of the number? Every number's got a chashivas. The number of three is chizuk. It's definite, it's final, and it's up. So that's why it's Shavuos. If you've got the number eight, that's Lemala Min HaTeva, that's Sukkot, and that's Chanukah. Chamisha, we've discussed, it is connected with Yidden in Golas, Yosef, etc. And that's why, in connection with Tisha B'Av and Shavuos of Tammuz, five things happened. And that's why you'll find the number five also in Chanukah, because it was a Mesiras Nefesh to come back to Yiddishkeit. But the number four represents Shleimus. Four is Dovah Sholem. We have Arba Emos. Why Arba Emos and Shlosh Ovos? Well, the Arba Emos, because the Emos kept the Emunah, they were Shleimus, they didn't do any Averas, they kept the Emunah completely. In that way, they were superior to the men. The men is Shlosha, because the man has got to be Mechazik himself, he's got to try to get to higher Madregas, but he hasn't got the Midah of Shleimus that the woman has, and that's why there were four Emos and only three of us. Then, so Pesach, which is represented the Geula, at the time when we've got to have Shleimus, we have to have the Inyan of Arba. And if you look at the Medrashim, you'll see that the Arba Kaisers represent all sorts of things. Arba Geulas, Arba Kamphos Oretz, Arba the four Tzitzis, the Arba Pashas and Tefillin. Even, would you believe it, the Arba Ovos and Zikin of Baba Kama, and even connected the Arba, Arba Mrs. Besti. All these are connected. I haven't got time to go into the theory of it, but you can tell that this number Arba, you can fit the whole lot in of this Inyan of Shleimus. So therefore, I believe that Chazal Davka chose the number Arba Parshas, because the Arba Parshas represent the lead in to Pesach, and that's why they kept it at that number. Now, I'd like to finish with the a drush from my great-grandfather, the Kamenitzer Maggid. He said, what's going on in these Arba parishes? And he said the following drush. He said, if you look at the Arba parishes, you can see this is a representation of the Arba Malchus. That's another one of the Arba, by the way, the Arba Malchus in Donil, etc. It's just like this. The Shekol, not the Arba Malchus, it's really the Arba Shibudim from which the Klal Yisrael came out from. I've mixed it slightly the two up. He says like this. The first time Klal Yisrael had a Geula was from Egypt. When they came out of Egypt, they got loads of money. They were absolutely, took the business Ayam, they were absolutely stinking wealthy when they came out. So the apostle is telling us that, what did you do with your wealth? What are you supposed to do? Well, the women kept the money in order to do the Mishkan. But the men, unfortunately, decided they wanted a golden representation of the Egel. That was again, an idea of Shleimus of the women. But the point was that we are taught that the first thing that you must remember is the money we got from Egypt, and use it for the right purpose. That is Shekolim for the purpose of Mishkan, for building Beis HaMedrash. If anybody who hasn't paid his dues, please do so, and realize that that's what money is about. That's Shekolim. Then, the next one is Parshas Zohar. That clearly was referring to the next of the thing that's obviously got to do with, what's his name, Haman. and the, let me just see if I make sure I get the right, they get the right people to in the right place. And he said that, that relates to the second of the of the Geulas. The Geula, when we were about to be destroyed by the Haman HaRosha, and the second, it doesn't really require more explanation than that. That was referring to the Geula of Binyan Bayis Sheni. The third one is Poro. Poro represents the Chok of Rochukim. That's basically a counterblast to Yovon, the Greeks, Hanukkah and the Greeks. The Poro Aduma represents the Tara and the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, when everything had been fatumed by the Greeks, that we have a Poro which represents the Tara. And the final one, the Chodesh, is going to represent Melech HaMoshiach. That's going to refer to the, when we'll be Mishadish and the Mashiach will come. So that's, he's saying, this is, the four parashas represent the whole of Jewish history. When I said Abba Malkus before, that's not quite right. That was just one, that's one of the fours. There were Abba Malkus. But we're talking here about the four geulas, the four main geulas. The first geula is Mitzrayim. The second geula was from Homon and Amalek. The third geula was from Yovon and and the fourth geula will be parashas HaChodesh. That's what he, now with that we can also see an answer to our previous questions. First of all, we understand why it's only four, because there are four geulas, and that fits in beautifully with the four parashas. That. Secondly, we see why the order is as such. We asked before why Poro came before HaChodesh, should have been the other way around, what's going on? But the answer is, of course, now it's simple, because each of the geulas came at a certain time, and that was the way it came. Poro of Yovon came before HaChodesh, which is going to be Mashiach. That's what my great-grandfather said, and it answers a number of the questions which we've asked. I'd just like to take that and finish with, this is a message also for us. A Yid has, first of all, if a person wants to become a Baal Teshuvah, he's first of all got to make sure that his money is in the right place, and before his heart and before his anything else he goes into, you've got to get your attitude to wealth and to money correct. Because that, if a person is shakua in business, if a person is busy thinking how he's going to make more and more money, it's not going to work. The first thing to do is make sure that you are in control of your money, that your money is going to the right place and doing the right things. Once you have control over your assets and your things, that's Pasha Shkolim, you then have to eradicate from yourself all evil behavior. You've got to have emuna in Hashem next. You've got to realize that the next thing is Zoch Hashem from Amalek. Amalek is bad. There's no kium for people who go along the wrong derech. You've got to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything, and you've got to make that hachlota that from now on I'm going to learn how to be a good person. The next thing to do, having got the zohar, the physical side of things, that you make sure that you're in the right place and you're going to want to go to choose the right shul, etc. Then the next thing is Torah, emunah. You've got to have your spirituality cleansed. You've got to make sure that you're doing things in the Shem Shomayim. You've got to make sure that you've got tara on what you're doing. That's the next degree. So first of all, money, then your guf, and then your neshama follows. If you get all those three right, you're ready now for achana, for parshas HaChodesh, so we'll be mischadish. That's what Chodesh is, it's a chidush, like we say when we do Kiddush Levona, we should be mischadish. We should all be zoiche to the ultimate geula, which is coming to listen by keeping the inyonim of the Arba Parshas.
Amen.